email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio.
Right, you may have seen that the Irish Independent has a story today about a UCD-based scientist by the name of David O'Connell who has made a breakthrough in his research which could lead to the development of drugs that could help stop the devastating symptoms of Alzheimer's. And David has made the hugely long trip across from UCD to RTE, and he's sitting in front of me now. How are you doing, David? Thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much, mate.
Congratulations. So this is very exciting news, isn't it?
It is. It's hugely exciting, and it's the culmination of a long-standing friendship and scientific relationship with a Swedish professor, Sara Linsa, in Lund University, and myself, which began way back in 2006. But in much more recent years, we decided to invent a new way of discovering drugs and new drugs themselves. And in the short period between, we've managed to identify some very strong candidates that seem to be blocking, inhibiting the processes within Alzheimer's disease.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Alzheimer's disease first, and then yes, it'll help us understand what you've done. So firstly, the number of people in the world with Alzheimer's disease is increasing because we are living longer.
That's very true, and I'm afraid to say I think it's grossly underestimated also. We don't have very good diagnostics for this disease. In fact, to be diagnosed, you really have had to have an interview.
There's no blood test for Alzheimer's?
No, there's no blood test.
Is there a brain scan?
Oh, I think brain scans can show physicians a certain amount, but they're not going to be used diagnostically.
Okay.
So they say that currently, at least the American Association of Alzheimer's Society, estimate around 50 million worldwide, growing to 150 million by 2050. But I think it's far more than that. As many people know, there are people in the community who don't know they've got these conditions.
And up until now, and right now as well, there are drugs available that sort of treat it, that they ameliorate the symptoms of it.
Well, I wish that was also true.
No, that's not true, no.
Unfortunately, even the most recently approved drug called aducanumab, which is an antibody-based medicine, it has been led to huge controversy because in the FDA approved it upon a second review, but there's no real evidence of significant benefit to patients. And in fact, the CEO of that company had to step down as a result of it. So there's, unfortunately, it's a field dogged by this type of failure.
But you can see why everybody wants to find something that can treat it, because it's such a horrible condition.
Ray, I think, you know, we saw what a pandemic is with COVID, but actually we have a pandemic of Alzheimer's and dementia worldwide.
And you, unfortunately, your dad suffered with Alzheimer's. And is that part of the motivation for your work?
Well, yes. And I'm delighted to even mention him, because my dad, Bill O'Connell, he was a scientist himself. He did a scholarship to get into UCC Oscuilga and did his undergraduate degree Oscuilga, and that's what he needed to do to get in.
Right.
He became known as Botany Bill by his friends, and he always had this deep passion for nature, you know, science, peppering you with questions, anecdotes. So when his journey with Alzheimer's began, unfortunately, my mum, Helen, had to support him and didn't know what was happening. And in retrospect, that 10 years of change and difficulty, and my siblings, Johnny, Gail, Elaine, all rode in and helped, and their partners. But it was a real...
What age were you, David?
Oh, gosh. I mean, Dad passed away in the last 4 years.
Right, you know, okay,
so
all right. Sure.
I'm 51 this
year.
So, I'm, you know, we were all adults.
30s, 40s, yeah. And to see this man who, I can even hear it in your voice now, was a hero of yours.
A hero of ours. Yeah. We all adored him. And very gregarious man, full
very
of
bright.
Fun, bright, observant, gentle.
Curious.
Also. And to see that kind of disassemble without any real understanding of why or what was happening was shocking, really, you know.
Yeah. So what is happening then? What's the physiology of it? What do we know?
I suppose the gorgeous part of the physiology is that our brain is exquisitely tuned to store memories, to complete actions, to create laughter, create love, all those things. But actually it boils down to how certain cells function in different parts of the brain. And we call them neurons mainly. There are many other types, but neurons are kind of the action cells in the brain, to be quite general. And unfortunately, within those neurons, there are a class of proteins, again, about not a lot of which is known about them, but they start to break up. And when they do, they start sticking to each other.
Right.
And that can be reversible. It can happen over many, many years. But there gets to a stage called secondary nucleation, where it speeds up. and it actually kind of catalyzes itself. And so what happens is you get a lot of sticking together of proteins.
It's gloopy, gloopy stuff.
Yes, and this leads to toxicity,
right?
Cell death. And so the boundaries, the character boundaries we all have each day, the memories, the functions tend to become, what's the right word, degraded.
Right.
It's really, it's exquisite in one way to know this molecularly. But
it is, and it's like the human brain is just such an amazing thing. And the fact that we can only think about our brain with our brain is that's sort of
a circle.
Yeah, it's a circle. But it sort of brings it home that this is machinery, and the machinery is getting clogged up.
Yeah.
And what you have done is invented these blocks that go in, and what do they do?
So if we think of the disease process as aberrant or a toxic machinery, which isn't meant to be happening, but does, then the blocks we've made can actually bind specifically to the most toxic member of that pathway.
Uh-huh.
They actually don't bind any of the others. They simply look for this one most toxic species. And in doing that, they prevent the speeding up.
Right.
So they really halt, inhibit the process. Now, we are working on new variants of these to make them even better. But we were shocked, in a very pleasant way, to see what these blocks were doing, because this has never been seen before, this binding of this very toxic species by itself, because it doesn't last long. It either goes back to being something else or goes on to being kind of a more permanent structure. But it is it's like the red light. And if you can get on top of that, you can retard the process. And while you would never claim a cure, what you may be able to do with drugs like this is retard the process.
Right. And what about prevent?
So I think part of the common wisdom is if we all started taking something preventative in our 30s, we might be, you know, perfectly unaware of any. But I think the reality is for those who suffer now, who are starting their journey of suffering and their families, is that we need therapies that actually can ameliorate, as you said at the beginning, lots of the symptoms.
Yeah.
And take away a lot of the shock and surprise. And what we don't want are people going into long-term care or people at home demanding huge amounts of extra care. So if we can delay it, we can allow them function.
Now, we read about scientific advances in the papers every day.
Yes.
And then when you read behind the headlines, you say, well, hold on, wait a minute. This is just with mice and this could be 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
So what's the timeline on your discovery?
So all drugs have that type of 15-year type of window because there's clinical trials and safety. But what's nice, and you've witnessed this yourself during the COVID period, is that when something is showing sufficient promise, efficacy, there are these fast-track approvals. So Alzheimer's disease research is a strange one in that commercially it's not a major money spinner because there's been too much failure. So what's needed now are some accelerated trials for new types of molecules. Thankfully, we are already, in discussions with some companies that are clinical stage companies who know how to take a drug from a laboratory in university and present it.
Which we have,
and which has been patented by UCD, which is great. But how to bring it to pharmaceutical partners in a state of readiness.
What are the ethics involved in doing research with people who have Alzheimer's?
Gosh, I mean, I suppose we don't.
Yes, yeah.
You know, unfortunately, we are restricted to, in fact, actually one of the most powerful models we've got is a worm, C. elegans. So you can actually mimic Alzheimer's or dementia-like symptoms in a worm.
Right.
And then you can treat it and actually see them being reversed.
Okay.
So that's very useful. It's a very simple organism. We don't work in humans. The sad part is, and maybe more controversially, is there are approved medicines that do give families huge hope, but they don't, they're not disease modifying. So we need disease modifying treatments that actually, as I say, either halt or slow down this toxic process.
You see, people who have Alzheimer's aren't in a position to give permission to be involved in the... That's a conundrum, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we all have our own personal views. I can only give my own UCDs, but
yeah.
I would be an advocate of, through my solicitor, you know, having a forward-looking statement saying, in the event of, please allow, you know, me to participate in. And I think that's actually, I've seen this, and we collaborated in a study in MD Anderson in Texas, in the USA, which was a cancer project, but those terminal wean patients heading towards death that were on life support, had given prior consent for experiments to be run while they were still, heart was still beating.
Mm.
So we're not there at all now. I'm not advocating for it. But we do need to be a bit more radical about this, because it's affecting a huge number of people. Economically, it's a massive burden on society, as I think everybody knows, and I don't need to tell you that. But the number of people affected per patient is extraordinary.
Yes. You know? It brings up all sorts of ethical issues, though, doesn't it? And you would like to think that a person, if they knew what you were asking them, they would give consent. But of course, they can't, because they're...
I think one thing that you're underlining very nicely is we need more focus on this.
Yeah.
We'll always have pandemics. I mean, there's more viruses probably to come out of the deforestation.
And what do you think, just because, and I said it already and it's been said over and over again, that the reason we're going to have more people in the world with Alzheimer's and dementia is because we're staying alive longer, and that's because of the advances in modern medicine. It's sort of, you know...
Yeah, I mean, I suppose our goal as humans is to stick around as long as possible.
Is it? And
to have children and to mind your dog and all of these wonderful things.
Yeah.
And sadly, Alzheimer's...
But I suppose the problem is if we're staying alive and our quality of life isn't great, like, what's the point?
Well, if it took you out, Ray, you know, very quickly, we wouldn't really be having much of a conversation about it. But the sad part is it does not.
No.
And there's a long runway before somebody has to be actually clinically cared for.
Yeah.
And I know my mum did a fantastic job of controlling this passionate man whose boundaries were being taken down, you know.
Yeah. It must be terrible. I think it's worse to see somebody losing their mind than their physical health. Way worse.
It's sad because there's so much of them still there. Like that, you still have a great laugh with them. You'll still, you know, enjoy a match or something like this, love a song, and a memory will be a fragment of a memory. But that's the hardest thing. It's like death by a thousand cuts. It's so slow. Yeah. You know.
So did you answer my question on how long?
No, I dodged it. we're already, so the process is now commercialization.
Yeah.
That's the patenting, UCD, and we're looking to partner up with companies. I would like to see clinical activity within the next 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
David O'Connell, Professor at the School of Biomolecular and Biomedical Science in UCD. Thanks so much for coming in. Thanks, David.
Thanks a million, Ray.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.